Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it is and has been to be in church on this Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 43. Genesis chapter 43, we'll continue our study in the life of Joseph. And I know it's been a tremendous study for me. I've really enjoyed preparing to preach on the life of Joseph each Wednesday night. It's just... there's always something more. No matter how many times you go through the Bible, it just seems like when you go back through it, whether it's the second time or the 100th time, God always reveals something more to you. That's just the way God designed it. The only person that could design something like that would be God. And that's why it has to be read as God has preserved it for us. Okay? Because God has a plan and a purpose for how He has preserved His Word. And it's a blessing to be able to study it and to continue to let God speak to us as we read it and hear it preached and hear it taught. The life of Joseph, the theme of the life of Joseph as we've somewhat adopted this is God is able to work all things out for good. God is able. And as we look at the life of Joseph, I mean, you can look at several times in his life, and if you just pulled that one section out, you would think, boy, he didn't have the blessings of God, and he had a miserable life. And can you believe his brother sold him into slavery and all the different things? But then when you put that back into the overall picture of his life, then you're able to see that God is able. No matter how dark, no matter how bleak it might seem, if you put it in God's hands, he is able to work all things out for good. And from that, we find the biblical principle, biblical truth taught in Romans 8:28. And in the New Testament. It's just a blessing to see how we learn things from the life of Joseph and then always connect it with a biblical truth, a principle that is revealed in the New Testament. And biblical principles, they're the same. They never change. Truth never changes. And so it's a blessing to learn this from the life of Joseph and then are able to apply it to our lives even today. Well, Joseph has been through most of the trials of his life. And now he is positioned where God knew that he wanted him from the very beginning, and that is as one of the leaders, the number two leader in the land of Egypt, because God knew that he was going to use Joseph for a particular purpose and saving the lives of the children of Israel, but not only saving their lives and preserving Israel, but also getting those sons of Jacob to where they needed to be used by God as the 12 tribes of Israel, and which would have been the very beginning of this chosen people. And so they had a long ways to go, and yet God was going to work this out. If you look at their life before, as they would have been the kind of young men that would do a lot of ornery things, and even selling their younger brother into slavery, that was an indication of where they were mentally and spiritually. And so they were going to be coming a long way. But Joseph is now being used by God to put his brothers through a series of tests that will get them to acknowledge God. And that's basically what Joseph desired. That's what Joseph, his life was always acknowledging God. And that's why we find that even in the dark times, God worked it out for good. And God had a blessing. And God would prepare Joseph, strengthen Joseph, give him the grace he needed because he would acknowledge God. His brothers did not acknowledge God or they would not have sold Joseph into slavery. His brothers did not acknowledge God or they would not have lived in the sin and did the things that they did to their father Jacob. But now that Joseph is the head of Egypt and his brothers are now coming to him, he is in a position where he can be used by God to put them through a series of tests. And that's what's taken place. We've been studying that the last several weeks here, now that the brothers have come to Egypt for food. Chapter 43 and verse 14 is where we ended last Wednesday night. Because Jacob would have to send Benjamin back with the other 10 sons back to Egypt. And they didn't want to go back because they were accused of being spies and they thought that they could lose their life. And now the only way that they could go back and face this Egyptian leader was to prove that they were the sons of Jacob and bring back to with them their youngest brother, Benjamin. Jacob was not willing to do that at the beginning, but then he finally yielded to God's will for his life, and it would have been God's will. And he said this in verse 14, "And God Almighty give you mercy before the man." Everything is focused on God. And at this point, Jacob's focused on God to protect them. He wants his sons to be praying to God for his mercy and his grace to protect them, that they would be able to bring the food back and all the boys come back alive. And so he says, "And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away you, your other brother, and Benjamin." But then he says this, he says, "If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. I'm going to do it. I believe it's the will of God. No matter what takes place, I believe it's the will of God. And if it's not that will, then it's not his will. If you don't come back, then it's not God's will that you come back." And he left it that he'd done all that he could do, put the outcome in God's hands. What a blessing it was to study that. Well, now if you stand with me, we're going to be looking at verse 15 down to the end of the chapter, chapter 34. Everybody with me tonight? Kind of hard on Wednesday. Amen. You've been working 3 days and been back in the world doing the different things, having all the temptation, fighting all the things, trying to live that Christian life as God would have us to live. No matter what it's been, everyone here has had their own battles, but you made it to church. Praise the Lord. That's half the battle. You hear me? I say that quite often. It's half the battle. What a sad thing it would be to only have half the battle when you can have complete victory. The other half is to receive all that God has for you tonight. And so I trust that we're all focused on receiving what God has for us here this evening as we continue our study in the life of Joseph. Chapter 43, verse 15. "And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, 'Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon.' And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, 'Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, are we brought in that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses?' And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. And he said, 'O sir,' and said, 'O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And the other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks.' And he said, 'Peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money.' And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet and gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare and said, 'Is your father well, the old man of whom you spake? Is he yet alive?' And they answered, 'Thy servant our father is in good health. He is yet alive.' And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, 'Is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me?' And he said, 'God be gracious unto thee, my son.' And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. He washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, 'Set on bread.' And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. They set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. And he took out, and he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for this opportunity to be in church. Pray now that we would, each and every one, have that ear to hear what you have to say to us tonight. I pray as we study this lesson in the life of Joseph, that each one would be willing and ready to receive the truth that you would use to apply to their lives. Strengthen us to the preaching and the teaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, the first thing that we find here, Joseph now sees his younger brother Benjamin, the only one that would have the same mother, and then his other 10 brothers, the 12 of them are reunited. All the brothers, once again, there before Joseph. They don't know it's Joseph. Joseph knows it's them. But they don't know that Joseph is alive. They do not know that this man in whom they stand before is their brother. And so Joseph would have to fight off his emotional feelings. To be able to stay on the course that God had given to him. For him to continue to be used by God to get these brothers through this test and to be able to accomplish God's purpose in what has taken place here, Joseph would have to control his emotions. In verse 16, look first of all there, it says, "And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." He sees Benjamin. That's his youngest brother. And his heart goes out to Benjamin. He would have loved to have, and emotionally, this, he was one that was not involved in selling him into slavery. He was one that would have just been a child during that time. And no doubt he had a close relationship with his youngest brother Benjamin. A lot of emotions going on inside of Joseph. If you turn back and look down to verse 26, you find the very same truth here. Verse 26 says, "When Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand to the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth." All of his brothers now, he's had them brought to his house. And he asked them of their welfare and said, "Is your father well? And the old man of whom you spake, and is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant our father is in good health, and he is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance to him. And no doubt that's bringing back memories of the vision that God had given to them. We'll see in just a few minutes here. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin again. What emotions going on now in Joseph's own heart and mind. His brothers are there. He learns that his father is still in good health. He's alive. He remembers back to when God revealed to him that this day would come. There's been a lot of things taking place between when he was just a teenager and God was revealing to Joseph that he had special plans for Joseph. And that one day his own brothers would bow before him. Didn't understand it. A lot of things have happened between that point and where he's at now. He remembers back to being sold into slavery. Possibly remembers back of being lied about by Potiphar's wife. Remembers back to being in prison for those many years. Remembers all the things that he had been through. Now he sees Benjamin, the other boy. Lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin. Verse 30 says, "And Joseph made haste, his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. He entered his chamber and wept. He washed his face and went out and refrained himself." He refrained himself. He wanted, his emotions was to go out there and reveal himself to his brothers and hug his youngest brother Benjamin and be able to just rejoice with them. But that was the emotional side of what was going on inside of him. God had a different plan. Joseph knew of God's plan. And so the Bible says, and he refrained himself. Now, this, again, understanding, we have this story for us to learn of these biblical principles that can help us. Joseph would have to fight off these emotional feelings to be able to stay on the course that God had for his life. To be able to accomplish what God had him there to accomplish in the lives of his brothers. Romans in chapter 7, look over there with me. Say with me, this is a great truth right here. Most of us have read Romans chapter 7 and verse 15 down to verse 25, and you kind of, the first time you read it, you kind of scratched your head and said, what? Maybe the second or third time you read it, you continue to scratch your head and say, what in the world is he saying? What Joseph is doing is what Paul had to do, and it's what Paul now writes in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good, that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. With the mind, I control what's going on inside of me, and I act out of a controlled mind. But with the flesh, the law of sin. If I give into the flesh, I'm going to give into the law of sin. He goes over in Romans chapter 8, and for sake of time, I won't read it all, but I want you to look down to verse 8. It says this, which brings it all to a conclusion. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we get in the flesh, can I tell you that of the flesh is a lot of emotions? A lot of feelings? If I'm not careful, I'm going to start allowing emotions and feelings control what I do. Control how I live. And if you're controlled by emotions and feelings, you're not living in the will of God. Because in the flesh, you cannot please God. If you're going to please God, then you're going to have to control your mind, no matter what kind of emotions you're experiencing, no matter what kind of things going on emotionally, we have to control our minds, and we have to focus on what is the will of God. No matter how you feel, no matter what the emotions of the moment are, you have to look beyond the emotions and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and you have to look to God and His Word and say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I must look to the facts of God's Word. Because the Spirit of God is not going to lead you according to the emotions of the flesh. The Spirit of God is going to lead you according to what thus saith the Lord. If we're going to be Spirit-led, then we have to know what the Word of God says so the Spirit of God can reveal that to us and lead us according to what God says He wants us to do with our lives. Joseph knew that he was in a position that God had put him in. And Joseph knew that God was going to work through that position to bring this family of Israel, the family of Jacob, together to reunite this family and to get them focused on God so that they could be the children of God and be known as the children of God, and that God could work through them the promises that He made Abraham and Isaac. And that God could bring up from their seed this nation of Israel, where there would be 12 tribes, that the whole world would experience a testimony of God's chosen people. If it wasn't for Joseph, and it wasn't for this right here, they would have never have got to the place where God could have called them and used them as He did. And so Joseph now has this emotional experience, and he could just go ahead and say, fooey with what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to give in to my emotions, and I'm going to reveal myself to my brothers, and I'm going to go and I'm going to hug my youngest brother. I'm going to put my arms around him, and I'm not going to do what I know God has me in this position to do, because my feelings are more important than the will of God. I don't think anyone here would agree with that, knowing what took place, knowing how God would use the nation of Israel as a testimony to this entire world as to the children of God, and how He continues to use that in our world today. Not only that, how He used that to usher in the Messiah. Wow. Feelings change. Facts do not. I often counseling people, go on a fact-finding mission. Get all the facts, because if you don't have the facts, you're going to act according to feelings, and feelings will change, and they'll lead you in a wrong direction. The facts never change. The Word of God never changes. But many times, feelings dictate how people live their lives. Feelings of disappointment and hurt. Feelings of being upset and angry. Feelings of envy and jealousy. And because of these feelings, Satan uses them to destroy relationships. Upset and bitter at this woman that I married because of certain things. And I lose sight of what God tells me concerning this relationship, but I let these feelings of being bitter against her, let these feelings of being angry against her, let these feelings of being disappointed possibly in her or in him, you could turn it right back around, and you let these feelings destroy a relationship that God said is to keep together till death do you part. Allow those feelings to destroy something that God said, work it out. Look to me. I'm able to work all things out for good. No matter what he's done, and no matter what she has done, if the two of you are looking to me, it takes two to make any relationship what it ought to be. One cannot sustain the relationship. But if two of you are looking to God, can I tell you that God can work it out for good? Emotions, you're going on emotion. How you feel. I feel disappointed and hurt. I feel upset and angry. I feel jealous. Whatever the feeling might be, listen to me, that feeling will change. Truth never changes. So many have left the will of God because of feelings. Feelings cause people to get upset with other church members. Before you know it, you're leaving the church that God planted you in. God's will hadn't changed. Those feelings have changed. Too often, though, because of what happens and the scars that we create by living by feelings and acting out of feelings, makes it almost impossible for us to go back. Sad. Friendships destroyed over feelings. Over feelings. Well, this went on or that went on, and before you know it, you're making a decision on a friendship based on a feeling that you have. Why don't you forget about your feelings? And I know, preacher, that's a lot easier to say than to do. And I'm not saying it's easy. The Christian life is not an easy way to live. Never has we been promised an easy life. We have been promised a blessed life. But in order to have the blessed life, you have to live it according to the will of God. Selfishness. Focused on self instead of others is something that Satan's going to use to destroy you. Well, I'm just so miserable because of this and because of this. And before you know it, you're letting those feelings dictate how you live your life. Feelings change. Many times the damage we've done by acting out of feelings causes us to lose the will of God and losing friends that could have been for life. Losing marriages that could have been for life. Losing church that could have been for life. Wow. Feelings. Understood? Can you understand where Joseph's at? I mean, Benjamin didn't have anything to do with it. And now I see Benjamin, I just want to go hug him. I want to just let him know who I am. But that's was not God's plan at this time. Joseph has to find a place to get away. And while he's alone with him and God, he breaks down and cries. And can I tell you, that's all right? Can I tell God what's on my mind? I hate to tell you this, he already knows. He knows what's on your mind. Many times I'll pray and Lord, help me to know me like you know me. Help me to know why I feel this way. God, help me. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to have these kind of thoughts in my mind. God, help me to get rid of those thoughts and put right thoughts in my mind. God, strengthen me. Help me. And when I'm alone with God, I say whatever. What's on your mind? He already knows it. And sometimes it helps you. It helps me. Just talk out loud. I hear myself. When I hear myself, sometimes a light comes on. I'm thinking, wow. Because I realize when I hear that from somebody else, I know what I'd tell them. Amen. Tell yourself the same thing. If you know the Bible, you have biblical counseling in your heart and mind, sometimes you can be your best counselor by telling yourself to stop it. Telling yourself, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop yielding to those kind of thoughts of anger and bitterness and envy and lust, whatever they might be. Stop it. You can tell yourself. Amen. I think that's what Joseph did. He got in there. He strengthened himself. He refrained himself. He says, I'm not going to go out there and I'm not going to blow the will of God. I'm not going to give in to my own feelings. I'm going to continue doing what God wants me to do until it's God's time that I reveal myself to my brother. He would not act out of emotional feelings. He would act out of what he knew to be the will of God. That's a powerful message right there. But that's not all. Look back on it. Genesis chapter 43. That is the message. Praise the Lord that we find that in Joseph's life. The Bible said he didn't do it. He went to a room by himself. Just him and God. He got composure. got a handle on his thinking. Got a handle on his emotions. And he says, I'll not act out of emotions. I'm going to act out of the will of God. I'm going to go according to facts and not feelings. Great, great thought, great truth. Chapter 43, verse 15 down to verse 23, reveals his brothers. One of the tests was that he would send them away and he would put their money back into their bags. He knew it was there. How would they respond to that? When they come back to him, now he has his main servant telling him everything his brothers are saying. They don't even know that he understands Hebrew. They don't understand. They think that he doesn't. So he's got this interpreter with him. And so he is working with them through the interpreter. But this servant, they come to him, and as they come to Joseph's house, as they were invited to come there by Joseph's servant, letting them know this is what Joseph wants you to do, they go there. But as they go there, they would address what took place with truth and honesty. Verse 15 down to verse 23, when they were faced with the trials, they didn't try to lie their way out of it. When faced with their trials, they spoke the truth. That's one of the things Joseph was looking for. They did deceive their father. They tried to lie their way out of it. What happened to my son? Well, some wild animal. Let's put some blood on him, on this coat. Let's bring the coat in and say, Dad, is this it? We don't know. Is this Joseph's coat? He wanted to see, when you're facing your trials, will you try to lie your way out of it? Will you turn to deceit? Or will you just stand, be honest, and tell the truth? They come back and they said, I'm just going to tell you the way it was. When we got out in the hotel, the first time we stopped, it was too far away. It was about 250 miles. And they walked this in the type of conditions of mountainous area. So it wasn't a quick drive back to say, hey, somebody left the money here. We just wanted to bring it back. No, they were quite a ways home. And they opened their bag and they found that the money was in their bag. And he comes back and he says, I want to be up front with you right now. We don't know how it got there. We didn't try to steal from you. We wanted to pay for it. And so not only did we bring that money back, we brought more money back, plus all these other gifts and everything else that we want to give to you. They didn't act like it didn't happen. Like, well, maybe Joseph doesn't know that the money's there. So when faced with their trials, we find one of the tests that God put them through there. How will you respond in this kind of a trial? Will you look to me and do it the way I say to deal with it, through truth and honesty? God works through truth. Satan works through lies and deception. They didn't try to lie the way out of it. Ephesians in chapter 6. Biblical principle here that we find that they were learning, that we have given to us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and very familiar passage, spiritual warfare that we're fighting all the time. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It is the principalities. Against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Do it the way God wants you to do it. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore. Do it God's way, God's blessings. You do it the devil's way, turn your back on God, Satan's going to work in your life. He says, stand therefore, look what he says, having your loins, the first thing he mentions here, having your loins girt about with truth. You want God's blessings in dealing with your trials? truth and honesty. God can't tell a lie. He can't bless those that tell lies. Satan can't tell the truth. Satan works in darkness, God works in light. Said, but if I tell the truth, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, that's... Is God putting you through that test to see how you'll deal with it? It's not about feelings, it's about facts. God deals with, in the light, He works through truth and honesty. Joseph's brothers came back. They didn't try to skirt the issue. They didn't try to hide it. They come back and they told the truth, and they were as honest as they could be. Look what Joseph's servant tells them. Go back there with me. Genesis chapter 43. Joseph's servant, verse 23, says this. And he said, peace. That's what I need to hear. Because Joseph told me, and he didn't say this, but this is going on. Joseph said, if they tell you the truth, then tell them this. If they tell you that money was in there, if they try to be honest, then tell them this. Peace be with you. Fear not. Your God, not the God of the Egyptians, their God and the God of your father, Jacob. The God that's in control here. The God that they're going to realize is what is leading Joseph. It's who's leading Joseph. And the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sack. Now, what he said, God worked it out for you to have that money back in your sack. And he did. He led Joseph. And there again, that helps us to see that Joseph was just being obedient to God, doing what God told him to do. And now the servant says, no, that money was put back in there because God told Joseph to do that. It was your God that worked it out for you to have that money back in your bag. He had a purpose for it. Amen. They're not understanding all of it now. They're still somewhat amazed. But then we find the last thing here. Last thing here, real quickly. Verse 31 down to verse 43. 31. And he washed his face after Joseph now. It goes back out and comes back in. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians. Now he's preparing this meal because this is the last test. This is the last test we're looking at here tonight. Another test. Wants to see what they do with this test. So he brings them back in. Joseph wants to see for himself how they respond to this next thing. And so all of them sitting separate because that's the way it was supposed to be at that time. And verse 33, it says this, and they sat before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one of another. They marveled because how did he know who's the oldest here? They put them in line according to their birthright, or if you will, according to the oldest down to the youngest. I don't know about you, but if you're the older, you're always wanting somebody to ask you, are you younger than that brother or sister? Now, if you're young, you're wanting them to ask you, are you older than your that? Yeah. It's kind of hard. If they're that close in age, and there's 12 of them, amen? So, I mean, you know, they were having children quite often. Close in age. And they marveled that, how did this Egyptian get us in the right order? And they marveled at that. That's part of the plan. And then verse 34. He took and set messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. Joseph looking. The younger seems to be blessed more than the older. Seems to have the favor of this Egyptian leader. How would they respond to that? Had they changed? Had they really grown in their spiritual maturity? the younger getting the preferential treatment? Can I tell you that something that God's looking at in our own lives? Where is your spiritual maturity? Stop looking at what others have. Stop looking at comparing what they have to what you have. Because that's going to lead to more emotions that you don't want to go there. Well, does God love them more than He loves me? How's come I've got to always have to deal with troubles and trials? And why am I going through this? And they're not living as spiritual as I am. That they don't even come back to church on Wednesday night. And I'm here every Wednesday night. And they've got a nicer car than I do. Stop looking around at what everyone else has. Start learning to be thankful for what we have. If they'd have done that 27 years ago, they wouldn't have sold Joseph into slavery. They acted out of anger, jealousy, envy, all of the emotions of the flesh. Philippians in chapter 4. Biblical principle coming back to life right here. Philippians in chapter 4. Verse 10. Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last of your care of me hath flourished again." I'm thankful for that. I'm rejoicing that you've taken care of me now, sending missions money. Praise the Lord for it. "Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." Haven't always been it, but now you are, and I'm rejoicing over it. "But not that I speak in respect of want. For I've learned something in my spiritual maturity and understanding God's principles and what God blesses and how God would have me to live. And for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, no matter what I have, therewith to be content." If I'm content with what God has blessed me with, I'm not coveting what everyone else has. "I know both how to be abased." I've learned how to give God praise when I'm abased. "And I know how to abound." And I've learned how to give God praise when I'm abounding. "Everywhere and in all things, I know it's the will of God, because I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then he says this, a verse we pull out, but we don't put it in context a lot of times. "Knowing this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Joseph said, "I want to see how they respond to the youngest getting five times what they have." Is the oldest going to say, "Wait a minute, I'm the oldest. You put us in order, and I deserve more than the youngest"? That's not how God would have them act. And look what happens. Verse 34. "Five times so much as any of theirs." Look what it says. "And they drank and were merry with him." They rejoice for the brother. Can I tell you, we ought to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, not to think of ourselves better than those that are weeping, not to think of ourselves as less fortunate to those that are rejoicing. Be content. God is working on these brothers to get them where Joseph has been, and that's why God has been working and blessing Joseph, and that's why He's placed him where he's at now. God blessed Joseph to be a blessing. God blesses us to be a blessing. You want God's blessings, you better be looking to be a blessing instead of looking around and saying, what are you doing for me? And God, how come they have this and they have that and they have this and on around, and you lose sight what God has blessed you with? And can I tell you, if you're saved, you're blessed. If you have a wife that loves you, you're blessed. If you have a husband that loves you, you're blessed. If you have children that are in church, you're blessed. How we need to just learn these very same biblical principles that we find in the life of Joseph. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. God's working to get these boys where they need to be because He has plans for them. He has plans for them. And for them to get to where they need to be, He's going to use Joseph. He's going to use Joseph. Joseph just wants to be used. He overcomes his own emotional feelings. Stays focused on what God would have him to do in dealing with the circumstances of his own life. Not going to have a musical invitation tonight, but there's always an invitation. If God's speaking to you, if there's something that you need to bring to the altar, we encourage you and invite you to do so. If you just need to make that decision, commit to that in your pew, then do that tonight. But don't let the message pass you by when God had it something in there for you. Make the application. Make the application. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. I pray tonight, God, that You would just continue to help us to not only understand these biblical principles, but to give ourselves to these, to live as You would have us to live. Lord, I pray as we get ready to dismiss here tonight that You'd watch over us, get us all home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.